At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
So, let's begin today's message. We're in Ruth, still, and we're still in chapter 1. So in Ruth, chapter 1, just verses 19 through 22, we've read them before. But we'll read them again. Stand when you're there, out of respect and honor for God's word. Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. So they, that's Ruth and Naomi, went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has witnessed against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me." So Naomi returned with Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. You may be seated. You should note the chronological reference there because it's vital. That fact that she came at the beginning of the barley harvest, we will talk about that next week, okay? So as you know, they've traveled from the two main cities in Moab. They're spelt different today. But for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to assume that when Elimelech and Naomi traveled, they went to the closest city. And they've dug up these cities. They know they were around then. There's a road actually runs through this. Most of this is Jordan today, the country of Jordan. And a road run through there. It's called the King's Highway. It's Highway 40 and Highway 35 in Jordan, if you want to know, in case you're driving there sometime, what exit to take. Don't trust me, there's no exit. So for the sake of today's discussion, I'm gonna assume they went to Divon or Dibon. All right? So, if we look at this today, this is Google Earth, okay? So, Bethlehem's over here and sets at 2,500 feet above sea level, and Dibon is about 2,300 above sea level as well. There's a problem, though. The lowest point on the planet is between there and there. Okay? So, to travel, you got to go down to go up. That'll preach. So this gives you some, if you can especially see the top, it gives you a cross-section of that part. And the reason I chose this, about on the west side of the Jordan, is about where Bethlehem is about where this cut across is. So you can see from the land of Moab, there's called the Plains of Moab in the Exodus story, all right? How far down you got to go to come back over, you got to go, and through what's called the Wilderness of Judah, okay? So I took on Google Earth, and you can do that. You can bring the angle down to try to see where you see today, where Dibon is today. Now, these, they call them wadis. We would call them ravines, okay? And these ravines of Jordan are some of the highest waterfalls in the country. If you want to do extreme hiking, go to Jordan. They got extreme hiking trails. Okay, matter of fact, the main wadi that brings you down to the Dead Sea, where this large waterfall is, you can't really go down that ravine that way. You come from one end, you have to stop because of the waterfall, or you can come up from the other end. And one of the other ones, and I think it's this one here, there's actually a hot springs, and they've built a hotel in the middle of this for the hot springs that are there. But look at that. Just if Ruth and Naomi traveled down to the Dead Sea first and then traveled along the Dead Sea. Now, you could see in the picture right here, there's a road there today. There wasn't then. And you could see parts where this trail, you would be, if they went that way, they'd be on these steep cliffs with a little trail. But we know where the King's Highway is today. That roadway's been around for 5,000 years. They have record of that and done archaeological digs. So my assumption is she ain't going down one of these ravines. Matter of fact, today there's many of them you have to rappel down. So you go to extreme hiking and you rappel with ropes down them. I don't imagine Naomi, being an older woman, was doing that. And Kathy said, amen. So we're going to assume they went what we know now is the King's Highway, which if you go back the other way on the King's Highway, is some of the extreme, some amazingly extreme landscapes, almost alien. But let's assume they went over to Mount Nebo, because we know the King's Highway runs that way, and there's a couple that branch off past that. Mount Nebo, you'll know from the Exodus story. We're not going into that. Generally the same elevation, but you're going to climb by 400 feet. And this goes a lot of up and down. See if I got that picture in there. There you go. Ladies, notice this right here. It's also called the Scorpion Highway, for it's known for its scorpions. Now, some gals might say, ooh, cool, not my girls. Okay, it's just a big bug to them. All right, but look at that terrain as you leave Dibon. Like I said, if they're at the other city, it's even worse between those two high plains, right? But as you get towards Mount Nebo, it begins to smooth out. But it's still a whole lot of up and down. So if you know anything about travel, even in the Oregon Trail type days, you tried to stay on the ridge line so you didn't have to do all that up and down. So I'm going to assume that as well. When you get to Mount Nebo, I think that's the one I have next. There you go. And so they actually have this sign on Mount Nebo, and I highlighted in red. So if you look off that direction, way over there on the other mountains is Bethlehem. It gives you an idea here of how far down. You can see the roadway over there in the, for you, the right side of the screen. You see it over there, a little curvy snake, because they have to switch back and forth. And so just stepping over a little bit, you'll see another picture. And you can see the roadway down there. I'm not sure how old Naomi was, but she wasn't young. I'm going to be honest, we think of Ruth as some young little maiden, but many people are guessing her around 40. Okay, we can't know that for sure, all right? And off you go down those hills into the plains of the Jordan, which are just barely above the Dead Sea. So once you're on the other side, now you've crossed these long, salty plains, okay? And now this is actually a roadway up to Bethlehem from Jericho. You can see the guys on the bike there. Those who have been with me to Southeast Asia, that looks mighty familiar. Just put it in a jungle. But the roadway, the hills, and two guys on a motorbike. Okay? So again, this is what they're doing. They're walking up. Now, the whole trip's about 75 miles. The average person walks 3 miles an hour, but not uphill. Okay? So I want you to understand, this wasn't like going across town. You're going through a place, again, if you wanted the water, you had to go down in one of those wadis, one of those ravines. That's where the water is. So at some points in this trip, they're having to go down into these to get fresh water because you're not going to get it from the Dead Sea, okay? And, gee, there looks like there's a lot of food out there, doesn't there? If you like dirt and rocks and sand. So imagine you're taking a 30-day, 40-day journey. You're taking with you, maybe they were with a caravan, we don't know. But that's the kind of terrain they're crossing across. I wanted to put that in perspective for you because we tend to have, I don't know, Hollywood-type ideas. I don't know. But this was a rigorous, difficult journey. And so they arrive in Bethlehem, and it says that the whole city, that's hyperbole, was stirred up because of them. What do you think that is? Remember, a famine took place when they left. So I would imagine some people died during the famine. Plus, they left. I mean, if you have somebody that moved away, for us, it would be like moving to the East Coast. I mean, that kind of distance to us today because we travel differently. And you've been gone 10 years. They've heard stories that, well, husband died, kids died. Did Naomi die? And when she, is this Naomi? Now, some commentators are going, she's aged so much because of the stress, they didn't recognize her. I don't know, okay? I know what kids being alive can do to you and turn you gray. I don't know what would happen to you if they passed away. But they're asking, wow, you're back. You survived all this. We'd heard rumors, okay? And so the whole city is sort of stirred up about this, and I'm going to be direct. They, in many of your Bibles, and they said to Naomi, that is in the feminine. So the whole city stirred up because why? Yeah, the ladies were talking. That ain't me. You can go to commentaries yourself. You can go to the original language there itself. It was the ladies that were all stirred up and doing the chatting. Don't call me a sexist. I didn't write the book. Okay? She says to them, don't call me pleasant. What's the opposite of pleasant? Unpleasant. But call me bitter. Bitter is not the word sad. That's not what bitter means. If you're bitter, think about that. Think of a bitter old woman. And don't think about the one that ran for office. Sorry about that. I couldn't help it. Okay. Here's my words. Do I look pleasant to you? She's walked what you just saw. They arrive in town. Now, I don't know about you, but you all traveled before. You go on vacation, then you got to come home and take a vacation because you're exhausted. And all you did was sit in the car, you know, kind of thing. Imagine walking every day as far as you can walk, camping outside in the heat in the desert, and you're wore out. You've lost your sons. You lost your husband. One of your daughter-in-laws left you, but you got one with you. Don't call me pleasant, man. Okay? It's like if my kids wake me up too early in the morning. They know better than that. Right? Everything that meant anything to her was taken away. What do you say to a Naomi? Nice to have you back. Too bad your kids aren't here. What do you say to somebody who's lost everything? Now, this is very pertinent. This is called hurricanes. What do you say to people who've lost everything? Loved ones included. Okay, I don't know how many of you follow the Facebook, Kindred on Facebook. But I posted an article on where's God in the midst of all this. And it was actually, and I'm not promoting then, I got to give credit, it was on Fox News. So when I look Fox News on my phone, it was like the second or third thing about somebody talking about where God was in this. You should have read the ridicule. You talked to Santa Claus? So I actually went on and posted a comment and thanking the fellow for being able to address that issue in a time it's very difficult. What do you say to Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma victims? What do you say? Here's Naomi. She's back. She's got nothing. All in their culture, this girl is going to beg for a living. Now, you know, we all see somebody out wherever you shop or wherever it is, you see the guy with the sign or saying out of work, we'll work for food, whatever. God would have to do some major humbling on me before I'd do that. I'll beg from God, but I don't want to beg from you. Call it pride, I don't care. All right? But I want you to understand, as they're entering Bethlehem after this long journey, after loss of everything, what do they have to look forward to? Begging. Oh, don't call me pleasant, man. You got a house to go to. Don't call me pleasant. Your kids are standing next to you. Don't call me blessed. You got food at home. Don't call me blessed. Don't call me pleasant. Don't say things are good for me. Don't even ask how are you, because I ain't going to tell you. Come on, let's get what we've all been. How you doing? And they start telling you. No, I really wasn't meaning for you to tell me. I don't want to hear your stuff. Naomi and Ruth are people right now you don't want in small group. Because when you go around and you ask for prayer requests, they got requests. They're long. And they're probably going to cry. And all the guys feel really uncomfortable. No, that's where they're at. I want you to put this in real. So often when we tell the story of Ruth, we want to jump to the kinsman redeemer stuff, which is good, and we'll get there. But I want you to understand, you see the value in that kinsman redeemer when you see the desperation they were in. And that'll preach. I'll get to that next when we get the kinsman redeemer. Okay? I do want to say this, and I said this to the kids. In the kingdom of God, sorrow, even anger, is acceptable. It's all right. If you don't believe me, would you open Psalms? Watch the psalmist pour out his heart to God about his struggle, his misery, his pain. It is okay, no matter what some people teach, that if you're in Naomi's place, you just simply must have sin in your life. You must be doing something wrong. No. In the kingdom, it is okay to put it this way. God, not my will, but yours. I let this cup pass me. God, if there's another way without killing my kids and taking my husband, please let me have it that way. Jesus himself felt that. But she makes a statement that I think, I got a feeling that if I posted this or if I wrote an article on the news that used Naomi's words, the ridicule would fly. Listen to what she says. The Almighty, the Shaddai, if anybody know that word, has dealt bitterly with me. Since the Lord has witnessed against me, the Almighty has afflicted me. She makes a statement on the sovereignty of God. Ready? The one who is in charge put me here. Now, I don't suggest you right now post that on Facebook if you have friends in one of those disaster areas. I don't suggest you do that. The question is, when you're in a Naomi place, do you still realize God's in charge? I'm going to be honest. You get a raise. You get a promotion. You get something good. You have a new child. Hey, look what God's done for me. Have your air conditioner go out and your oven. And I'm still waiting for the oven. It's on back order. What's that? Just over eight grand in a month. Look what God has done for me. Yes. See, we like to say God's in charge when it's good. But you know, he's still in charge when it's bad. I got to give Naomi credit for that. I am bitter at what God did to me. But I know this, God did it. If you have a theological problem with that, we can have a conversation later. But I got to touch on this because I think this will strike home with most of us. And she says, and the Lord has witnessed against me. Now, if I just, those of you who use eSword that I recommend you do because it's free, you can take this word, and if you have the right thing, you put your little mouse over the top of the little word witnessed against me, okay? And there's going to be a little number, and it's going to tell you the Hebrew word. And if you don't know how to do this, I will help you. But you go to the King James Concordance or dictionary in there, and it'll tell you everywhere in the Old Testament that Hebrew word is used. Okay? And it's used, what, 331 times. 74% of those, or 244 times, it is this word, answered, not answered. Answers. You ready? Here's Naomi. God didn't answer my prayers. He's witnessed against me. Negative, against, there's a negative word there. Answered. God didn't answer my prayer. What prayer was that? Don't take my husband. Don't take my children. Don't take my home. Feed me today. Wow, what happens when you get to the point that you're praying? What do you do when God says, uh-uh? There's a very famous fellow who owns a TV network. so I'm not going into it, but was raised in a Christian home. When a little kid, wanted to be a missionary. But then when his sister got sick and suffered for a while, this person gave up on any belief in God. Well, let me begin here, and I'm going to go along the line of Naomi, the sovereignty of God. Psalms 115:3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Do you know what that means? When he didn't answer my prayer, that pleased him. I don't know if I like that. I didn't say he didn't hear your prayer. You notice I didn't say that. And to be honest, he always answers your prayer. I just don't like it when he says no. Okay? Isaiah 45:7. I form light. I create darkness. I make well-being and I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm doing apologetics right now in seminary, okay? Apologetics, defense of the Christian faith. You can be a Muslim apologist. You can be a materialist apologist. But a Christian apologist is defending the Christian faith against, I'll call them false accusations, but against other worldviews. When the people talk about evil in the world, calamity, bad things, moral evil's pretty easy to take care of. What we have a problem with is natural evil. They're called Irma. They're called Harvey. We have a hard time with natural evil. But God creates calamity. I didn't say he came to judge the people because they're wicked people. I didn't say that. If God is in charge, he's in charge of the weather or earthquakes in Mexico. God's in charge. Now, hang on. That does not mean causation. All right? God can intervene at any time to stop anything or to do anything. The fact that he chooses to let nature take its course, he's still in charge because he can do something. Now, people argue, okay, well, if he can do something and he doesn't do anything about it, he doesn't love us, and I'll address that in a little bit. This, by the way, when you defend God against the claims of evil like this, it's called a theodicy. There's a fancy word you could write down if you remember. It's called the theodicy. Matthew 10:29. You know this. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from your... Wait a minute. If the sparrows that die is in control of, I think he's probably in control of the situation in which Naomi's sons died. I'm assuming that God then was probably in charge when her husband died. He was in charge when Orpah left. Daniel, this is a big one. It's a famous one in regard to this. Daniel 4:35, part B. He does, God does, according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? It is interesting, during times of calamity, we want to question God's wisdom. You need to read Romans 9. Who are you, man, that you would question God? See, Naomi doesn't understand this. Now, see, we like this. We like the idea of Job, where all this tragedy comes, and God gives him a bunch of stuff and children. But in Naomi's case, what God has for Naomi is more for her to do. Wait a minute. Pick somebody who still has kids. Pick somebody who still has a house. Haven't you taken enough from me already to ask more? But God is going to ask more of Naomi as the story goes on. That ain't the way the American society works. Everybody's got to pay the fair share. This girl's paid her share. Well, I'm going to let me give you a clue on something. You may not like it. God owes you nothing. He doesn't owe you salvation. He didn't owe you the cross. God was not obligated to redeem you. It's true. Romans 11:35. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? comes, which is a paraphrase out of Job, chapter 41 and verse 11. Who has a claim against me, says the Lord, that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. How can you give me anything? It's already mine. Amen. Let me put it another way in a more sense. Assume, I know it's some hard for some of you, for some of us, it's not. This is really cool, I got to tell you. My neighbors next to me invited my family over to come over for a party. They wanted a football day thing, okay? And I see that as an opportunity. So they invited us over and went over, and as you already heard, there was abundant flow of certain beverages, okay? But there I saw a fellow who used to play for Boise State back in the 80s. All right. So I asked him if he knew player A, this other player. Did you know this guy? Yeah, I knew him before he was in prison. But boy, did that open the door. We got to talk about the change before and the change after. So for me, it ain't hard to imagine this, but you imagine this. You're in prison and you deserve to be there. The governor gives you a pardon. Do you go to the governor and say, excuse me, you owe me a job, a spouse, a car, a house? Uh-uh. You just glad to be free. Amen. So I'm going to just bring that into a practical thing for it. You got to understand that God's no is always merciful, even when it hurts. You might want to tweet that. God's no is always merciful, even when it hurts. That's why in Psalms he says things like that. He's near the brokenhearted.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.